to feed you throughout the midweek. I'm not sure about you guys, but I'm glad for this tradition of the midweek Bible study. I am always refreshed to see the saints. I'm always refreshed to get a dose of the Word of God in me, and also to give it to you, and also to receive from you, because all of you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you guys have a gift to help edify your local church. And I know that just by you being here, it sure does edify my spirit. And so with that said, I just want to say thank you for coming on out here tonight. We want to continue to keep in prayer those who are unable to make it and those who are currently on their way. And we want to continue to keep others in the back of our hearts that we're seeking prayer for. As we know, there's a lot that we need to be in prayer for, amen. And so the more that we could pray as a church, I know that we can see God work in miraculous ways. A praying church is a powerful church. Just don't forget that. A praying church is a powerful church. Without prayer, there is nothing going to happen. And so just know that since you got saved, you became a child of God in by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, you have a powerful access to God. Amen. So let's go ahead and continue to keep each other uplifted in prayer. All right, guys. With that said, let's go ahead and go over some quick announcements. Hey, welcome back, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we get ourselves ready for tonight's fellowship study. If you're tuning in to the Podbean app, listening now, we have a few listeners. We want to invite you to either check us out on our YouTube church page or our Facebook church page if you prefer video. But if you haven't already downloaded the Podbean app, I want to encourage you tonight, go ahead and download it. It's a free app, and subscribe to our church channel, and that way you can listen to these sermons or any teachings in an audio format in case you guys are busy, you can't visually see. And hope we can continue to minister to you that way. Amen. So with that said, we're located here at 1836 Dixie Street, Oceanside, California. We're located here on the left-hand side of the property. You can find our space that we rent from the church here by following those parking lot signs. Amen. And how's the weather in here? Do you guys feel okay? Anybody hot or cold? It's good? All right, good. Our current schedule is as follows. Tonight is the midweek Bible study. Start at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard. Friday night discipleship class, 7 o'clock. And then Sunday, we have a Sunday school from 1 to 1:30, and then Sunday main service, 1:45 to about 3. Praise God, guys. We are done with the book of Romans. How many of you guys remember that? That was a blessing. It took us 3 years to go through it, and the reason why is because I wanted to give everybody the best that I had to offer as the first study book of our church since we started about 4 years ago, and I wanted to just give it all as I could and give you all the cross-references I could with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we're officially done with Romans verse-by-verse study. Currently, we are doing a topical series on basic Christian doctrines, and I'm approaching it with the mindset of, I just got saved, now what, right? And so this has just been like baby Christian food to help our church grow in certain areas. Remember, we started off the series with Christian dress, part 1 and 2. That was a good sermon. I got some good feedback from some of you today. I'm sorry, a couple weeks ago. And it was a blessing, and I'm glad to see the work that God is doing within your hearts as you each individually respond to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So thank you for following through and obeying the Holy Spirit, moving your heart and convicting your soul, and that's always good to obey the Bible just that much more, right? And then we started off last Sunday with Christian speech, and we saw a little bit, part one, of how we now as Christians should talk and communicate, and how we should no longer curse, how we should no longer say bad words. So we're taking these next couple of weeks to months to just teach our church basic Christian doctrines, starting with some baby food. Okay, we no longer should dress like this, right? We no longer should talk like this. So just that's the heart, right? But again, it's nothing but Bible. As those of you guys who have been coming, you guys have been seeing that. And we're all a family. Again, we're all growing together. As you guys know, we're all here to grow together as a family. So I'm not looking at anybody individually. This is just corporate Bible study to see how the Word of God is going to have an effect on our life. So I want to thank you guys for coming and learning. All right, next couple of announcements, ministry opportunities. This Saturday is the move, so again, we're going to cancel the outreach. If anybody has time to volunteer with my wife and I, we're going to start early in the morning, probably around 7:30 to 8 to start loading up our storage unit and everything, move to our new location there, and then it's just going to be an all day, so we're going to take a break from soul winning this Saturday. Whoever can join us, I got you for breakfast and dinner, amen. It's probably going to be toward the evening as well to the nighttime because I still have a trailer. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do with that if the property manager is going to allow me to do some modifications to the patio. You'll see that later on. Next Thursday is our every other Thursday outreach downtown right here, Soul Winning. So if you can join us from 6 to 7, that would be an awesome blessing. And then, of course, Soul Winning Saturdays. Thereafter, we'll go back out there door knocking and then public outreach And then the last Saturday of the month, we're going to take a break for family vacation. I think I already told you, church, but the last Saturday of each month, for those of you that are soul winners with us, we just like to take the last Saturday off for a day for family, a day for yourselves personal. So again, that way it gives you time to refresh, because ever since we started, my wife and I have been faithfully at it. And you guys know that Saturdays, every other Thursday, the last Friday of the month, I just want to go downtown to the Regal and just pass out flyers before Bible study. And these are just things that I want to do for the Lord because I love him and I want souls to get saved. Amen. So if you can join us, just know the more you sacrifice for God, he's going to hook you up. He's going to bless you. Amen. Next announcement, prayer. Please submit a prayer request right there if you have an opportunity to do so online, or just write it on an envelope, or just raise your hand and say, Brother Carlos, I need some prayer. We'll pray for you. Live stream links, again, if you haven't already, Podbean, it's a free app. You guys can subscribe for the audio. Facebook, YouTube, also as well, Simple Faith Baptist Church. Just search it, subscribe, like, and share, because we want to teach the world about Jesus Christ the best we can through our ministry. Amen. And the last but not least, guys, our normal giving is on Sundays, but you guys can give anytime between you and God, whatever you purpose on your heart. Just know, as a Christian, we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. It's all a matter of the heart. And I just want to encourage every single one of you, whenever you commit to give to God something, don't digress. In other words, don't go back. Stay faithful. If it's $40 a month, Lord, I'm joyfully doing it. If it's 50, if it's 100, if it's 1,000 between you and God, just do it with a good heart and say, Lord, thank you, because I know you own everything anyways. I'm sorry that I still doubt because I'm in this flesh. I feel like I need to control my electric bill, my utility bill, my car payment, my family. But that's an area of faith where you're going to have to test God in. So I just want to encourage you, just whatever you do, stick with it. Be consistent. Don't go back. Move forward and watch how the Lord will take care of you. Amen. And you guys know all of our finances go for taking care of our church property rent, our gospel tracts, supporting some of the missionaries. And there's a third missionary that I want to support. I'll talk to the church about that later. And we'll keep moving forward. Amen. As a church family. So thank you for that. Okay, how's everybody's week going? Everybody doing okay? Some of y'all tired, some of y'all look a little burnt like Brother Carlos. Amen. Okay. Woo! I'm a little exhausted, y'all. My shoulders are hurting, my back's hurting. I'm getting ready for this move, and it's been exciting. I had to finish up some last-minute items. Go ahead, Brother Felipe. Saturday. So I contact the property management. They're going to be ready for a Saturday to move in. Yeah, so, but it's okay. You can still fellowship with me, though, if you want. We can hang out. Yeah, pretty much all day. Yeah, because I'm thinking if it's just my truck, which I'm going to have my car, and I think Brother Manny is going to volunteer too. We're not sure. But if he does come through, we can fit some stuff in his car, and then we can all go. I think I need to do two trips to the storage unit, but then I have my trailer, and then I have my go-kart at the other church house and my surfboard. So it's just stuff. It's just manpower to put in the back. But yeah, all day Saturday, so. Whoever can, I got you for breakfast and dinner. We don't do lunch around here, man. Amen. We just do breakfast. No, I'm just playing there. Anyways, we'll try to hook you guys up. Amen. Amen. Everybody else having a good week, though? Oh, one more quick announcement. So Sister Eileen's baptism after church this Sunday. That's going to be a blessing. So please try not to commit anything right after church. We're going to get ourselves ready. And then we're going to go straight down there. For some of us, we can change here, go straight there. And if you guys want to have a church potluck, we can talk about that. If you guys just want to call it a day after that, hey, it's up to you guys. But I think it'll be cool. We all get to come back and maybe just eat together, fellowship, you know, and have a good time. So we'll talk about that when we get there. Amen. All right, church. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and get back into our midweek Bible study. For those of you who know, on Wednesdays, we're going back now to our verse-by-verse study through the whole book of Acts. We're up to chapter 24. We're almost finished. We got four chapters left. I'm very excited. And let's go ahead and get right back into it. Amen. So if you haven't already, go ahead and turn with me in your Bible to the book of Acts. Amen. And let's go ahead and go there together now. Book of Acts. Chapter number 24. We opened it up last Wednesday. We left at it. We finished chapter 23. Now we're going to go ahead and open up from verses 1. My goal is to try to get all the way through verse 21, but that's my goal. And we got to go through a lot of notes and everything like that. So I'm going to try my best to continue to go for it. But again, what's going on? Just to refresh your guys' mind, we have the Apostle Paul. We're getting towards the end of the road for this brother as he is on his way to Rome, that Jesus Christ told him in chapter 23 that he must bear witness of him also at Rome. And yes, it had to go through some of his hard heart by not listening to the Holy Ghost to not go back to Jerusalem, but he wanted to go there to worship God, to be a witness to his fellow kinsmen, the Jews. Well, unfortunately, he got persecuted by the Sanhedrin. Who were they? Pharisees, Sadducees, and the elders, right? All those There's Hebrew priests and all those fellows that were still rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, who still upheld the law of Moses and the Old Testament scriptures to be superior than this man who claimed to be the way to God and obviously the Son of God. They persecuted Paul, and they began to beat him up. The Roman officer rescued him, and after he told him he was a Roman, he's like, okay, well, we need to watch out how we take care of this guy. And so he makes a little appeal at the castle, and now he's on his way to Felix, the governor. And now that's where we're at, just to kind of refresh our minds of what's going on. So when he gets to Felix, the governor, he traveled up there. Now the Jewish priests and the Sanhedrin, the elders, they traveled so that way they can testify. Let me give you guys a quick visual, and then we'll get to the verses. Amen. You guys know I like to show you guys some maps, so give me a second here. So here we have the voyage to Rome. So pretty cool. Thank God for technology. So here we are, way over here, and let's see if I can add this also to the online as a source. Give me a second here. Can I add this? Oh, great. Cool. There we go. So here we are, right here. He was in Jerusalem. Can you guys see there here in Jerusalem? So he's going to travel to Antipatris, and then he's going to go right here to Caesarea. So right here in Caesarea, this is where he is going to testify before Felix. And then on his way to Rome, once he appeals, he's going to land over here, Cyprus, on the island, etc., on his way to Rome. And eventually, unfortunately, that's where tradition says, church tradition, that he eventually died. Remember that? He got his head cut off for being a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God for the end of Brother Paul's life. But let's go ahead and start again, verse number one. The Bible says, and after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, oh, sorry, guys, let me go ahead and remove this one. Here we go. Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. When he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, he's talking about Paul, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. So they all agreed. Here's Paul now, verse number 10. After that, the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. So that's what he wanted to do. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for allowing us to be saved today by allowing us every day that passed on before a long time ago. We were all living on this earth, Lord, until somebody told us about your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that if we repented and asked him to save us, Lord, that God, you would grant us the gift of eternal life. By your grace alone, God, nothing we could have done to earn it, nothing we could have done to work for it, and nothing we can do even now to preserve it. Your Bible promises everlasting life, eternal life, by faith in the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. So today, we rejoice in that same hope that Paul is going to give account for now and testify before this council and before Felix. Lord, may we also be encouraged by his boldness to testify before our coworkers, before our friends, our family as well. Help us to gain application tonight. And I pray that your Holy Ghost would minister to through me. And as we read your word, that it'll encourage all of us, no matter who we are tonight, no matter what we're going through. Please remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel. And I pray that you forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against your spirit. I know this within my heart. And I thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, what do we say, church? Amen. So let's go back up to verse number one, Tertullus. What is going on with this fellow, and why would the Jews have this guy be an orator against Paul? How many of you guys have ever been to court? Amen. Around here, some of y'all. And some of us may or may not have had an advocate or what we call a lawyer, abogada, right, before us to represent. And essentially, that's what this fellow is. Tertullus is essentially a lawyer for hire. And here's a little bit of history behind this gentleman. Let's go ahead and look it up together. Some of you guys know I like to use the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia for great notes. I like to use a lot of cross-referencing. I'll read multiple dictionaries, and I'll kind of give you the gist of one that kind of has it all together. And I'm so thankful for technology because a long time ago, a lot of pastors used to read all these books just to get what we got now virtually. So if you have a computer and you want this Bible study software, let me know, and I'll help you get it. So here's what the encyclopedia tells us a little bit about this gentleman named Tertullus. He was an orator who descended with Ananias, the high priest, and elders from Jerusalem to Caesarea to accuse Paul before Felix, the Roman governor. Tertullus was a hired pleader whose services were necessary that the case for the Jews might be stated in proper form. Although he bore a Roman name, he was not necessarily a Roman. Roman names were common both among Greeks and Jews, and most orators were at this time of Eastern extraction. Nor is it definitely to be concluded from the manner of his speech that he was a Jew. It has always been customary for lawyers to identify themselves in their pleading with their clients. His speech before Felix is marked by considerable ingenuity. It begins with an adulation of the governorship of Felix that it was a little in accord with history. And the subsequent argument is an example of how a strong case may apparently be made out by the skillful manipulation of half-truths. In other words, oh, you're a great guy, oh, governor. You the man, governor. You do everything great. But now let me tell you about this guy. He's messed up. You know, so how he does it. So thus, the riot at Jerusalem was ascribed to the sedition mongering of Paul, who thereby proved himself an enemy of Roman rule and Jewish religion, both of which Felix was a pledge to uphold. Again, the arrest of Paul was not an act of mob violence, but was legally carried out by the high priests and elders in the interests of peace, and but for the unwarranted interference of Lysias. They would have dealt with the prisoner in their own courts and thus have avoided trespassing on the time of Felix. They were, however, perfectly willing to submit the whole case to his jurisdiction. And so that's a little bit about Tertullus. So now let's go ahead and walk through a couple of the things that this man is representing on behalf of the council. But before we do, I want to go ahead and do a quick two-word study on two keywords that are very important for us to understand from our Bible. Look at here in verse number one again. This certain orator, Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Verse number two, when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, two words that I want to talk about tonight before we move forward is the first word, against, and then the second word, accuse. Some of us have been accused of things before in life, amen, some of y'all out there, and some people have been against you by just for whatever reasons or their own personal feelings or preferences. I'm pretty sure at some point you and I have had somebody against us or oppose us and accuse us of something. The question is, when we were accused or when people came against us, did they do that for our faith in Jesus Christ? Or did they do that because they could straight up call out a fault in our life, a sin? And tonight, I want to encourage us with some of the reasons why spiritually, it is actually a good thing when people come against you and accuse you for being a Christian. Now, that's for a Christian. I'm not talking about us for our sinful mistakes from our past, our silliness, our speech, our conduct, you know, me getting in the flesh. Oh, yes, he's at fault or she's at fault. No, that's all our own. Amen. That's just what we're going to have to reap. I'm talking about genuinely being a person of faith. I'm talking about if Brother Felipe is in the lunchroom and he busts out that Bible and he starts praying before he eats, and all of a sudden some people may not want to hang out with him anymore. Giovanni, same thing over there in the post office lunchroom, and all of a sudden people come against him. Maybe they don't really talk with him anymore. I'm talking about faith, the reasons why folks come against us because of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you a couple of verses from the Bible on encouraging you that if people come against you for being a Christian and if people accuse you, anything relating to your faith, that's actually a good thing. However, on the side note, for those of us who are not necessarily being persecuted for our faith, for those of us who are not necessarily being talked bad about because of our faith in Jesus Christ and our lifestyle, I would question, why not? Why isn't nobody knowing that you're a Christian? Why aren't you facing any opposition? Are you being one of the frozen chosen in the workplace? Are you kind of being shy with the Bible? Do you not really say Jesus out loud because, you know, you're kind of shy? Don't you not wear your Jesus hat? All I can tell you is this. I'm not here to point the finger and say you should be, and therefore, no. I'm not saying that needs to be happening all the time. But what I am saying is this. If you haven't, in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, experienced one opposition in your life for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd question, are you representing Jesus? So now, let's go ahead and go together here as we continue in our study, against and accuse. So the word against, church, appears 210 times in 182 verses in the New Testament alone in the King James Bible, but specifically 49 times in 44 verses here in the book of Acts. When used in opposition, always, it is generally in a negative connotation in the following. Let me rephrase that. It is generally used in a negative connotation in the following verses. In Acts 4:26, it is against God and his Christ. In Acts 4:27, it is against thy holy child Jesus. People are coming against that, right? In Acts 5:39, people are fighting against God, or that's the accusation. And later on, a false accusation like that of Paul in Acts 24, back in Acts 6, they were telling the people that Stephen was against Moses, against God, and this holy place. In Acts 8, there was persecution against the church, against the disciples in Acts 9:1. In Acts 13:45, the things spoken by Paul, people were persecuting that against Paul. In Acts 14:2, they were against the brethren. In Acts 16:22, they were against Paul, and they were beating Paul and Silas. Acts 18:22, the insurrection made against Paul. And then right now in our base text, we're studying in Acts 24, they're against Paul right here. And then lastly, in Acts 26:10, Paul gave his voice in times past against the church. However, that could possibly be the only positive reference to the term against or accuse, because he had no reason to accuse his own nation, and we'll see that later on. So the early church members of the local assemblies from Jerusalem to Rome, they were blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he taught ahead of time of the trials and tribulations which would befall his followers and disciples, because he told them a long time ago that it's a blessed thing if people persecute you for faith in me. Let's go ahead and now turn our Bibles together to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. What do I want to remind you of, church? Again, is anybody coming against you for your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you see any opposition in your life for your faith in Jesus Christ? If not, why? Are you being ashamed of Jesus? Are you afraid to talk about your faith in Jesus? Are you shy, fearful, because you're worried about what men or family or people may think about you because of your faith in Jesus? Don't ever feel like that. And don't ever let the world coerce you or fearmonger you into saying you can't talk about your faith, you can't talk about your God. No, you can any time of the day. While the world talks about their favorite sports team, while the men talk about women, women talk about men, they talk about alcohol, the parties, and what happened last night, you better get your Bible, or you better get your faith and say, man, I'm so glad I went to church last night because I learned more about Jesus and what he did for all of us, and he offers eternal life. I'm so glad for God. And put that in there. Don't be shy, y'all. Don't be shy. One time, me and Brother Manny were reading our Bible in the workshop, and our supervisor came over there and was like, Carlos, sorry, man. I just want to talk to you, you know, about the Bible reading, and people are complaining. And I said, Mr. Dan, who's complaining, bro? Go ahead and tell me right now, and I'll go ahead and confront them in love, respectfully, to ask them if they're offended, if this report that you're telling me is true. Don't worry about it. You guys keep going. I said, Mr. Dan, I've studied the laws, Mr. Dander. We have all the full right to read our Bibles on our lunch break. We're not soliciting. We're not proselytizing, you know, trying to convert anybody. We're just reading our Bibles, right, hanging out. And they're over there cursing up a storm in the lunch break. You know how it is? Because we kept a good spirit, we're not talking back. We're not cursing. We're not rude. We were two really solid employees. Mr. Dan later on apologized to me. That was a blessing. Why? Humility. But look here in Matthew 5:11. Look at what our Savior taught his early disciples. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. But don't stop there, church. What are the last words? For my sake. Don't be surprised, church, if you and I get rebuked when it's our fault, when we're not being a faithful employee, a faithful friend, husband, wife, father, all the areas of life where we come short and sin purposely. Don't be surprised when they call you out. You and I deserve that because that was our fault. However, we're talking about for his sake. Are you with me? For Jesus. You know what the Lord told you? That's a blessed thing. Paul, it's a blessing you're going to go through that for him. Peter, it's a blessing that you're going to go through that for him. Stephen, I know you're the first martyr, but according to Jesus Christ, that's a blessing for Christian persecution. So notice, church, not for our sakes, but for his sake. No matter how hard the devil tries and God permits his New Testament church to be persecuted, the church will never be overcome completely by those wicked principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:10. They're never going to have enough authority to overcome the church because Christ promised that in Matthew 16. But always remember this, Christian. Whoever is not against our Savior and his testimony in us is on our part. For we're on the same team. You can read that in Mark chapter 9, verse 39 through 40, but I'll show you this one on Luke. You can turn there with me, Luke chapter 9. And look here in verse number 49 through 50. By the way, church, you guys can go back online and watch the sermon again if you want to take notes and go through all the cross references that I'm going to show you, because tonight we got a ton of them. We got a ton of them tonight, and there's a reason. Look at what the Lord said here in verse number 49. This is the same one that we were going to see in Mark 9, 39 through 40. I just selected this one in Luke 9. The Bible says here, John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. Remember that? And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So church, don't worry about the other Christians. Don't worry about how they're doing it. If they love Jesus, they believe in him by faith, they believe the gospel, and they're doing something for the Lord, that's cool. Encourage them. And vice versa, we're doing something for the Lord. We're not against every Christian who we disagree with. We're talking about our unity and the common faith of Christ. Let's all press on and let's all move forward. We're not talking about anything that has to do with any opposition amongst fellow believers. The Lord Jesus Christ had this special commission, however, on the New Testament apostles' lives, as well as Paul. You can read about that in Acts 9, 15 through 16. But look at here in Mark chapter 13. Let's go to Mark 13. This has to deal with Jesus warning his disciples for what are some of the upcoming trials that they're going to have to face for faith in him. Remember, for his name's sake. And we can definitely see that this took place with the Apostle Paul's life later on in his life, as well as some of the other apostles. But this was what comes with the faith. This is what comes with believing in Jesus of Nazareth. And that's why he told the other folks a long time ago, if you don't hate your father or mother, you're not worthy to be my disciple. If you're not going to bear your cross daily, you can't follow me. That's why there's such a heavy, heavy commitment when we become Christians to recognize and realize, whoa, when I ask Jesus Christ to save me, hey, wife, hey, husband, you come second and below my Savior. His command is going to be superior to my love for my family. His command is going to be superior to my love for my family, country, government, culture, whatever, because he's God. He's the master. I'm his servant. And yes, when God commands you to do something, and at sometimes family and friends and all the distractions of the world will try to come against us, you need to bear your cross and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. But here's what some of the things that they were going to go through. Look at verse number 9. He said, But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten. Didn't they do that to Paul? They did in Acts 22, Acts 23. The Bible says here, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony against them. So again, that's a positive against. Why? Because they're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So Paul, Felix, Acts 24, fulfilling what Jesus said, here's what they're going to do to you. But you're going to go through that because you are going to ultimately be a testimony for me. And today, church, I want to remind you for application, if we go through trials and it's through tribulations, just know, somebody is going to be told about Jesus Christ. When you are born again, the Holy Ghost is in you. He is going to use those things in your life so you can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Here's a quick test to find out and to prove for those who are for us or for those who are against us. Are you ready? Let's go to Luke chapter 11. If you ever just want to ask yourself, how do I know people that are going to be here to encourage me, that are going to encourage my Christian faith, they're going to pray for my Christian faith and come along my side, and how do I know for those who are not? Look at Luke 11, 23. This is just a quick side nugget, amen? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Does it say, go to your church? No. Did Jesus say, believe just like you? No. Dress just like you? No. He that is not with who? Me. That's Jesus Christ. You with me? Everybody who believes in him, everybody who's for him, you and I are on the same team. Praise God. It doesn't mean that we're all going to get along. And I know, I'll get to that later. What about Christians that, you know, come against each other sometimes, argue against each other, rebuke each other, and try to do all that? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But again, who is it all about, brothers and sisters? Jesus Christ. It's all about me, the sinner, and him, the Savior, and my response to him. If you did that, praise God, we're on the same team. You may have done that at another church. I may have done that in another church. And now look at, we're all family here now in this local church. But if they believe in that same Jesus, that same gospel, we're all on the same team. But here's a side nugget. Many Christians today battle one another from behind the pulpit. They become bitter towards others. We need to be careful to those to whom we may hurt their feelings, or vice versa. We need to be careful for those who hurt our feelings, even knowing their fellow Christians. Just look up to the screen for this verse, okay? Look at James chapter 5. Just look up to the screen. James chapter number 5. The Bible says here in verse number 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest he be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Amen. But when the trials and tribulation from this world feel overwhelming, and you find yourself despairing of even life itself, we need to remember this, church. The Savior will always be with us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, aiding us, guiding us, convicting us to keep our eyes on him. Even when the ministry gets tough and difficult, just like Paul, about to continue to go through Rome and all of his trials. Let's go ahead and turn together now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And some of you tonight, when I show this to you, this is the verse that I always tell you and when I talk with you, when I fellowship with you. And this is a comforting verse for all of us to use whenever a Christian is going through a tough time. Why? Because it's all about who? Jesus Christ. Remember, him, for his sake, his name's sake. Look at here, verse number 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in where? Your minds. Remember what Paul was comforted by the Lord in Acts 23:11. He said, Paul, be of good cheer. Just like you've testified of me thus far, I need you to go to Rome to testify of me even there. But did Paul know that he was going to go through the shipwreck? Did he know that he was going to land on an island and a doggone snake would bite his hand? Did he know that he was going to go through all these crazy things just so he can testify of Jesus? No, he didn't. Likewise, you today, whoever you are, do you know the future things that God is going to bring you through? For what purpose? To testify of him. We must never forget, church, to take our eyes off Jesus Christ. Don't take your eyes off him. Look to him. You say, Brother Carlos, he's not here. I know. Where is he? He's up there. But by faith, the closest thing you have is this book right here, the Word of God. And the way that I look to Jesus, brothers, I pray in my heart while I'm going through a storm in my life, a trial in my life, and I say, Lord Jesus, I know that you went through worse. Your Bible reminds me right here in Hebrews 12, God, that you despise the shame of the cross, and your Bible comforts me by telling me to look to you. So that way, what does it say there in verse 3? I don't be wearied in my mind, Lord. And that's how I'm able to move through life and problems and situations and failures and hurts from not only Christians, but non-believers. Some of you guys know what I've been going through recently. That's how I've been comforted. Because what do? I put my eyes back on the Lord. I'm all about him. I'm here to serve him. And I'm going to go through life because ultimately it's a testimony to tell somebody about who? Jesus Christ. So just know, no matter what you're going through, just like Paul, there's a purpose when you're a Christian. What you have to do and what I have to do is try our best to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's going to take us through it. Amen. Next word, accuse. Remember, the first one, against. The second word, accuse. Let's talk about that. It's real simple. There's only 15 verses, ironically, that have the word accuse. I'm not talking about the other forms, accuseth, but I will say the last one, accuser. Before we close, it'll be good to talk about the accuser. Some of you guys already heard about him. But the first time that the word accuse is used is in a negative connotation. What does that mean, Brother Carlos? It just means the context tells you that it's either negative or positive. That's all that means, connotation. So Matthew 21:10, it's negative because what was the verse there and how was the term used? Look at here together, Matthew 21:10. And for these remaining verses, church, feel free to look up to the projector. Don't be shy. I'm going to go through these quickly. But here it is. As you guys can see, Matthew 21:10. I think I may have miswrote down this particular verse, but that's okay. Well, anyway, somewhere there in Matthew, I forgot. I don't know if I wrote down the verse wrong, but it was a negative connotation because they were waiting to accuse Jesus of something. The next one in Mark 3:2, Luke 3:14, John the Baptist was admonishing the soldiers, and he was telling them, don't accuse anybody falsely. But in the Mark reference, again, it was against Jesus. Luke 11:54, Luke 23:2, they were accusing Jesus. And then later on with Pilate, he didn't find those accusations even supporting of the accusations in Luke 23. In John 5:45, however, Jesus was rebuking the Jews of his day for their rejection to believe the prophecies Moses wrote of him. And you can read about that also in John 8:6, when the Jews were tempting him by accusing him. And then in our current verses that we're studying in Acts 24, the accusations against Paul, that's what we're talking about. Later on, Acts 25:5-11, perhaps the only positive because Paul didn't have anything to accuse his nation of. And then lastly, 1 Peter 3, you can turn there with me now. This is very interesting. I should definitely teach you this real quick or remind you I should rather say. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So church, remember, free will. God is not controlling me 100% of the time, moving my hand. No, the Word of God is here. The Holy Ghost is in my heart. He is the one that's going to point me to this, testify to this, to obey it. The thought comes, however, because sin in our bodies, amen. Temptation, thought here, lust here, anger there. When I disobey that, because I don't take the thought captive, because I can, but I choose not to. The old man, right? I let the old man have a little bit more victory. God is going to let me be accused for my false and my evil works. Yeah, I'll get slapped up. I'll get tossed up. If it's my family calling me out, if it's my wife, if it's for those of you that are married, your husbands, your children, somebody's going to call you and say, man, what were you doing? Why'd you do that? Look at that, verse 17. Don't suffer for something evil. You don't have to anymore, Christian. You can take control of sin in your life because you're a born-again believer. But if you do get rebuked and checked for a mistake, you better take it because you know that it's your fault. However, what about if you're doing well? You know what the Lord said? That's a good thing. God is going to let you be accused and let you go through things because perhaps that's the will of God for your life, for well-doing. Because what are they observing in your life? Good conversation. In Acts 24, they're going to accuse Paul of being an evil dude. But that was the will of God for him, right? He was a good guy. Same thing. Try your best to maintain a what, church? Good conversation. But false accusers are signs or fruits, if you will, of a reprobate mind. What does that mean, Brother Carlos? Again, it's a corrupt mind. When somebody accuses you falsely, it is a sign that they have a corrupt mind because what they are doing is going against the law of the conscience that God placed within them. You can read that in Romans 1 and 2. And ultimately, that is an inspiration from the devil. So before we close, I'll show you that tonight. Now, before you start looking at somebody else, Brother Moat, boom, Brother Moat, point it back here, Sister Moat, boom, put it right back here. I know. 2 Timothy 3. Let's go there together, church. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go there. Before we close, I need to tell you about him because he's real. He's out there. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 that the devil is out there roaming like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to take you out, church. He doesn't care if you're black, white, green. He doesn't care if you're Mexicano, Guatemalan. He doesn't care where you're at, where you're from. But if you became a Christian, remember, you were freed from his empire. You were on your way to hell. He wanted to take you there. But when you got born again, he is going to do his best to come against you by using your family, your finances, everything in his power to get you to stop serving Jesus Christ, because you can ultimately be a witness to help somebody else be free from the world, right, that he's the God of. But look at here in verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." There's your homosexuality, the transgender, the pedophilia, all that. Watch this. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Notice, all this against who? Those that are good. Don't be one of them, Christian. Don't go back to the world. Don't let the old man have more power than the new man in you. Don't allow yourself to act like that anymore, because you're saved. You don't have to be disobedient to your parents no more if you're young. You don't have to be proud and be selfish and it's all about me anymore. No, you don't have to. You don't have to say you're going to do something and then you don't follow through with it. You don't have to be a truce breaker no more, Christian. But again, look at though against those that are good. But who inspires that? Remember who I said? The devil. Ultimately, just like the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the Jews in John chapter 8, I'm gonna take you there before we close, their spiritual relation to Satan as their God, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Lord told them that he was a murderer from the beginning. So turn your Bibles there with me quickly to John chapter number 8. We are going to see who was in the midst of Paul's accusation, and we are going to remind ourselves tonight, church, who we can easily call out and identify in the end of the day. Even though, yes, sometimes we point the finger at flesh, because that's all we can see. I understand how easy it is for you to try to scapegoat your sin and your problems on somebody else by blaming somebody else other than yourself, because that's how the enemy tricks us, by thinking you need to try to justify it in the flesh right here where you can see. But really, there's some people that are flying up there. You don't see them with a naked eye, but God said they're real. The principalities, the rulers of the darkness, Satan is out there. And you can tell by where he's been chilling at because of what's coming out of somebody's mouth. Now look at verse 44, John 8, 44. Jesus told these Jews who rejected to believe in him, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar." Now look at this. "And the father of it." What did 2 Timothy 3 tell you? False accusers against those that are good. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God of this world, talking about Satan. So whenever there's a lie, whenever there's a lie propagated, a lie told, whenever there's a lie and it's passed along as truth because people are just believing a false lie, who's in the midst? Satan. Daddy Satan, Papa Satanas. But when you and I got born again, we got saved, you got freed from Daddy Satan. Because remember, we were all children of Satan before we got saved. Before you became a Christian, again, it doesn't matter if you were black as black, brown as brown, white as white. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter if you're Samoan, Filipino. It doesn't matter who you are, no matter what you look like in the flesh, no matter how much money you got. Before you became a born-again Christian, you and I were children of wrath, children of the devil. Ephesians 2 and 1 John chapter 3. That's why it comes natural to us to lie every once in a while. Come on, let's be honest. I'm talking to some real sinners in here, amen? Y'all been saved, but I'm just keeping a G. That's why we have an old man and we know how to act like our old daddy, because he raised us up since we were little kids. And all that spiritual influence, whether it came through the family or the culture, every anti-God establishment, that's why we're out there fulfilling the lusts that were in our heart because Daddy Satan was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. It feels good. Yeah, get back to him. Vengeance. Yeah, unforgiveness, bitterness. Yeah, go ahead and just do that money because, oh, that's all you got to know. We're saved now. We're born again. We no longer need to be against God. We no longer need to accuse God. Now we're actually on his side. We're actually now the ones doing good. At least we should be, amen. We no longer are the ones doing bad, right? We should be having a good conversation, being a witness, soul winning, trying to be a faithful Christian. We should not be the ones that people are coming against and accusing us when really we're just being good Christians. We should. That's the goal. One more, Revelation 12. Here's what God says right now that Satan is doing against all born-again Christians on the earth, regardless of which local church they assemble at. Doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He doesn't care which church these we go to. If we're born again and saved and we've trusted the biblical gospel, what he is going to constantly do before God is accuse you. Every time you come short, he's going to tell God on you. He's going to tell God every time you mess up. But aren't you glad for Jesus? Look at here, Revelation 12:10. Right now, he is still permitted to do this. There will come a future time after the rapture. We're out of here, right? Satan will no longer have access to the third heaven. But until then, he still does. So watch this. Look at Revelation 12:10. The Bible says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For, what does it say? The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So quick question before we close. Who and where the heck did you and I get inspiration to keep accusing each other of our faults and our sins and our transgressions when we've been forgiven? We have to analyze that within our hearts. Every time that thought comes within us, when we just want to easily point the finger and condemn and say, but you did, and you know you're right. Somebody up there is influencing us because that's what he does. That's his job. Satan is there to accuse you, the sinner, before God, day and night. The Christian, you know what we should be doing? We should be praying for each other day and night. We should be asking God to strengthen so we no longer have those faults that you and I really, really want to call each other out on all the time, privately, impersonally, personally. We should take that complaining and that murmuring and turn it into praying. And that way you can begin to, and continue, if you will, chop off that old Daddy Satan-like heart of condemn, condemn, condemn. We need to forgive. We need to help have a heart of love. So go back to Acts 24 before we close. Those two words I just wanted to talk to you about, against and accuse, and that's what we see here with Paul. Let's come back together here to verse number 2. He's going to begin his accusation. This is now in the court case. Some of you were there before. Your Honor, he is guilty because, and then whatever you perhaps may have gone through in life before you got saved or after, doesn't matter. I'm just telling you this is what's going on. And he says here in verse number, let's go down here after all of his little petitions of, oh, you're a good dude and all that. Go back here to verse number 5. He is saying that on behalf of the Jews, they found him a pestilent fellow. Well, that's silly. He's just annoying. You're in the law, dude. Where is the law that he broke, right? But that's, again, this is all the emotional strategy. Remember, this is a real court. You know how they'd get those lawyers. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. Now, that's a heavy accusation. Really, dude? Do you have video evidence? Do you have testimony from every Jew who lived on the earth to say, this guy, Paul of Tarsus, he really affected my faith in Jehovah. Like, I didn't want to serve anymore because of, no. That's second false accusation. Third, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. We'll talk about that next Wednesday. Who also hath gone about to profane the temple. So again, all these accusations, he wanted to just talk bad and speak against the temple of the Hebrews there in Jerusalem. And it says here, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence, that's so funny, took him away out of our hands. You know, he really hurt our feelings when he took him away, when we were beating on him. Remember that? What do you think, dude? The guy's just not going to go in there and say, okay, guys, can you guys stop beating that guy? He's going to push you guys away. And, you know, some of you dudes are going to fall down when these Romans are just trying to rescue a man who's getting pulled, you know, like whooped on, of course. But that's what he commanded. His accusers come unto thee. So now he's just saying, so that's what they wanted us to do, Felix. They wanted us to come before you. And now here we are to tell you about him, right? So then all the Jews, that's right, Felix, just what he said. Here's Paul before we close. And he says here, for as much as I know that thou hast been a many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for the worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man. Paul says, that's not true, sir. I wasn't disputing with nobody. Number two, neither raising up the people. He wasn't out there trying to raise up a gang of people to say, let's overcome the temple. And no. He wasn't in those synagogues doing that, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But I confess. Now, he is confessing to one thing. What is that? I'll leave you with this. That after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. What does he say? Felix, your honor, that's false. That's false. That's definitely false. They don't got nobody that can testify me, sir. But I will tell you one thing. What they're talking about, that they're calling heresy, those Christians, the people that are following Jesus of Nazareth, I worship God through that way. The God of my fathers. Did you see what he said? The God of my fathers? He is in the midst of Jews. Why didn't he say the God of our fathers? Because here we have a faith call. All the Hebrews who by faith believed in God, believing the word, he is saying, I am agreeing with what those old school fathers of faith believed in concerning the promises he gave, which is what? There is a hope toward God of a resurrection. And the reason why that hope was fulfilled was because of who? Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead. When? The third day. So tonight, church, we'll stop there. We'll pick up on our notes, Lord willing, next Wednesday, and we'll finish up with all the scriptural references that I have here concerning this statement about the law and the prophets, and how God had already prophesied of Jesus Christ coming into this world to be the Savior of all men, and that no matter if they were Jew or Gentile, if they would believe in him, they would have everlasting life. We'll go through all those verses, Lord willing, next week. So what do I want to encourage you with tonight, church? What can we gain? All of these things that the Apostle Paul was going through was a blessing, because Jesus said, faith in me for my sake. And today, church, if you find yourself going through tough times as a Christian, just know, keep pressing forward. Keep serving God. Do not digress. Do not go back to old habits, old lifestyles. No, keep moving forward in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Keep going to church. Keep reading your Bible. Give of your finances to the Lord to support your local church. Go sowing and do what you can, because again, there's somebody up there in the heavenlies that we don't see. And he's doing his best to get us off track from serving God. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, remember that Hebrews 12, he is going to carry us through, and he is going to use our situation for a purpose, which is what? To testify of him. So just know, church, your life is to be a testimony of Jesus to those around you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get heavy-hearted. The Apostle Paul finished his course, and that's the goal for us today, that we need to finish our course. And that's why we come to church, to hear the word, to get encouraged, to be prayed over, and to pray one for another, so we can all keep each other going. And I'll just leave you with this. Like I told you, of everything recently that I was going through, I am just so thankful for the church here comforting my spirit. Brother Giovanni, comforting my spirit. Brother Raphael, comforting my spirit. We have Brother Felipe. All of y'all just came along and said, man, Brother Carlos, keep going. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, man, God, here I am being comforted by the brethren, the babes in Christ. And I'm like, man, God, I needed that, though. I needed to be refreshed. And I just wanted to thank God for all of you tonight, because we all have a purpose. Amen. We all have a role in the work of God. All right, church, let's go ahead and close up with a prayer. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. I'm thankful to see the souls that came here to church, Lord. My prayer, God, tonight is that they heard tonight, that we learned something tonight, and that your Holy Spirit can use this message to remind Christians that we have a plan and a purpose, Lord. And you use Paul to fulfill a particular purpose. You gave his life to be a testimony of you in Rome. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I don't know the specific plan and purpose you have for Sister Eileen, Sister Kina, Maribel, Brothers Felipe, Rafael, and Giovanni, Lord. But I know, Lord, that you have one. And I know, Lord, just from all the scriptures we read tonight, that it's a blessed thing if they go through some tough things for their faith in you. I know it's a blessed thing, Lord, when they go through trials for their service towards you, Lord. Tonight, God, my encouragement is that you would help all the members here to keep their eyes on you when life gets difficult, but that they would keep moving forward in obedience to your word, because it's all about you to be a testimony for you, Lord. So, Lord, would you take care of their finances? Would you take care of their health? Would you take care of their emotional things going on in their marriages, their children, their families, their strifes, everything going on, so that, God, they can serve you without excuse. They can come to church, they can give, they can sow, and they can be used of you for a great purpose. And lastly, Lord, for me, to enlarge my heart for them, to love them, to care for them, to encourage them, to be an example, Lord. Keep us all going so we can fulfill the work and the calling and the plan you've given us here in Oceanside. And I'll give you thanks ahead of time in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, guys, God bless y'all. Thanks for coming. I hope and pray you have a safe rest of your night going back home.